Welcome to Focus on the Community. I'm Grant Schwartzentruber. Each week we focus on a topic important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. Well, I'm excited about this morning's show. I'm joined by Indiana State Representative Shane Lindauer. Shane, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Grant. Thanks. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Good talking with you.
Well, we, again, appreciate your time in coming on the show, and what we want to focus on this morning is the upcoming legislative session. I know this is kind of new to you, but you're really getting your feet wet and really making some important impacts up in Indianapolis on our behalf. Let's first start out by you explain your history in the state legislature, how you got there, and then let's also talk a little bit about your district.
Sure, yeah. So for those of you who don't know, I was actually caucused in to take, well, it's now Senator-elect Mike Braun's position just over a year ago now. It was last October, end of October, 1st of November, when he decided to devote his time and attention full-time to running for the U.S. Senate. So I was caucused in at that time. I won that caucus and had the opportunity then to sit through session last year. So last year was my first session, which was really to complete you know, what was former Representative Braun's seat, and now this year, this past November, just ran my first full race, and fortunate to come out on top there. And
congratulations.
Yeah, thank
good
you.
Job
thank you. I appreciate it. I'm glad it's over.
Yeah, I believe that. Those are big shoes to fill.
Sure.
A current U.S. senator. Mm-hmm. Was your immediate predecessor, is that right?
Correct, yes.
And then, so he stopped before the end of the term to focus full-time, like you mentioned.
You got it.
And then you got caucused in, and you finished out that term and then ran for the first time just this past November, correct?
That is it, yes.
Wow. So your district, if you could remind our listeners of what that encompasses.
Yeah, so I represent portions of Dubois, Davies, Pike and Martin County. So it's roughly, I tell everybody, it's kind of from Jasper to Petersburg, up here to Washington. It goes over, catches Montgomery. It jogs up a little bit toward Odin, doesn't catch Odin, and then over to Shoals and Lagodi and back down. So it's
kind of a rectangle or a square, and it includes the area.
Yes.
And it includes the area we're in right here.
Correct. Yes, it does include Washington. You got it.
Well, very good. Let's get right into this upcoming session then.
Sure.
I know, you know, I've been reading about Speaker Bosma's goals and the governor's goals, but give us a sense on what you see being important in the upcoming, the 2019 legislative session.
Yeah, so if anybody's heard Speaker Bosma on any of these issues, it's going to be, you know, education. There's going to be a focus on education, both increasing teacher pay, or looking at that, looking at the possibility of increasing a teacher pay and funding to our schools. School security obviously is always a big one. So ways that we can look at those funding mechanisms. Obviously, the DCS has been kind of an ongoing problem that we've had here in Indiana, and looking at ways that we can maybe stem the problems that we've had coming out of that office.
And let me ask you a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. I've spoken with some frequency to Senator Bassler, and he attributed that issue to perhaps the opioid crisis. Mm-hmm. And parents perhaps not being as available as they had been 30 years ago.
Sure.
Because they've got substance abuse issues. What do you think about that? Is that something that you see? Are we going to get any action on the opioid crisis? Is this DCS thing, is it just standalone? I mean, give us your thoughts.
No, certainly I don't think it's standalone. I think the two do go hand in hand there. Yeah, the influx of children into the program has been pretty dramatic, and I think that's directly tied in with the opioid problem that we're seeing with the opioid epidemic, you could call it, I think. And as that has increased, there's been a higher demand on it. So I don't know that that's the sole problem, certainly, but I think it's definitely a contributing factor in the issue. So
will there be a big uptick in funding for DCS? I know it's been bandied about and talked about by various leaders, by the governor, mm-hmm. I think by the speaker.
Yeah.
And so, is that something that we should anticipate?
Yeah, I don't want to, get out in front of the leadership. But I think, yeah, I think it's pretty safe to say that there's going to be a, you know, some significant funding going to it. The child welfare group that Governor Holcomb, you know, had come in last year. I'm sure you followed that, Grant, that, you know, basically they came in and they spoke with a variety of people, with parents, with DCS, with law enforcement, with, you know, people on the ground working with the children, and really tried to get an idea of what was going on just systemically. You know, we, comparatively to other states, you know, funding-wise, we're not that far off from other states, yet we were...
good to know.
Yeah, but where we were from an amount of kids and some of the problems we were seeing comparatively to other states, we weren't where we wanted to be there, obviously. So it our sense was, and I think the governor's sense was, you know, we didn't want to just, you know, throw more money at it necessarily without looking at kind of what was going on. Is there a systemic problem? And I think the new director, Director Stigden, I think she really has a heart for children. I think I've met her a couple times. I think, you know, I think she's going to do a great job from everything I know of her. But certainly funding is, you know, you can't do anything without more funding. And I think the speaker had mentioned that roughly 3/4 of the new revenue coming into the state, the projected revenue coming into the state is, you know, is being asked for, maybe looked at for going to the DCS. So it's going to be there's, you know, potentially a big price tag. Obviously, when we're talking about children in that situation, you don't want to look at that.
It's really hard to, it's got to be hard, yeah. You know, as a representative to say, we don't really want to put money towards
absolutely
education, yeah, or children,
right,
or school security or DCS or some of these things, because then you're labeled as, well, he's stick in the mud or whatever,
right,
it might,
right,
be.
Absolutely. But then that takes away, you know, we mentioned, you know, increasing teacher pay. So, you know, somewhere you've got to balance those things out, you know.
Obviously you've got some important
important
challenges here, and
right,
some things you have to figure out.
Yep.
I want to go back a little bit to the new director you talked about. It was Director Stigden.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yes, Terry Stigden, yes.
Okay. And the past director and the governor, I mean, it was somewhat newsworthy in that past director, I don't recall the name.
Bonaventura, I did not know her, but I believe it was her last name was Bonaventura, yes.
And she said that she was quitting, I think, in a sense, and I'm summarizing, because of funding and because the DCS wasn't getting the attention that she felt like they deserved. Speak to that. Do you think that was a fair statement? Do you think that it was a bit harsh on the governor? What's your opinion?
Oh, I don't know that I could speak to that intelligently. That mostly took place prior to my, you know, being caucused in and really being in Indianapolis. I did not meet the former director at all. So I certainly don't get the sense that the governor is, you know, some of the comments I think that were made by the former director were maybe a little harsh toward the governor. I don't think he certainly wants any harm to come of children. I think that, put that mildly. So, you know, that was, I think the governor's heart is in the right place. I think he's just really wanted to get a sense, an impartial sense of where we need to go, what we need to do, as opposed to, like I said earlier, just throwing money at the situation. And I think that's why he brought this outside group in.
Sure. No, that's a fair statement. Mm-hmm. And I do think it's probably an unfair statement that, mm-hmm, the past director made. Although I would say, as soon as I saw them then emphasize DCS as a something that needed to be funded.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, okay, point made, maybe,
sure,
maybe a year later, 6 months later, but
right,
it certainly got the attention of the powers that be.
Absolutely, yes.
So let's talk more about education. Mm-hmm. It does seem like that's going to be a big focus in this upcoming session. Teacher pay,
mm-hmm,
the chairman of the teachers union, the ISTA, Ms. Meredith, and the governor, I saw them. They seem to be very friendly, but it does seem like that's going to get quite a bit of attention.
Right.
They're going to try to direct money and try to direct locals to increase teachers' pay. But to be fair, Representative Lindauer, it's not like the state says this is what teachers are to be paid. They just, they're devoting certain resources,
correct,
to,
yes,
education, and the locals decide. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. There's certainly a lot more interplay than just what, you know, we're not telling, you know, Davies County or Pike County or Martin County, whatever, this is what you will pay your teachers. It definitely doesn't work that way. So obviously, though, we have, you know, part of that funding mechanism that comes from the state, and then those are the things we'll be looking at there. So
I heard the other day, I believe it was from Senator Bassler, that approximately $11,000 dollars per student comes from one source or another, and that's for every student in the state of Indiana.
Correct.
So the majority of that would be from the state, and then there's a local element and a federal element.
Correct.
But $11,000, it seems like a pretty good number.
Right.
I mean, if you've got 20 students in a class, that's $220,000.
Right.
And you would assume that at least, you know, over a quarter of that could go to the teacher that's serving those students.
That's running the class, right?
Yeah. So where does this money go? I mean, why is it not going to teachers? Any comments on that?
I don't know is the short answer. I think those are areas that, you know, from the state perspective that we're obviously concerned about. We're aware of those numbers. Obviously, Senator Bassler mentioned them, aware of those numbers. And, you know, you put money, I think it's roughly 51%. I didn't know this until I got into the state legislature. Roughly 51% of the state budget, you know, the whole state is
K to 12
education.
And then another percent is post high school.
Yeah, and so that's a big number. That was a number that really surprised me, you know, going into the legislature. As you alluded to earlier, Grant, that's just the state. You know, that's not the local monies or the federal monies. So that's a big number. That's a lot of money going to that. So obviously, you know, from a taxpayer standpoint, we need to be concerned about what's happening with that. How much of that's getting to the student. And again, like some of these issues, I don't have an answer right now. No easy answers, certainly. I don't know that anybody has an answer. And quite honestly, too, it's going to be different, you know, from what happens at Washington schools to what happens in Lagodi schools or Northeast Dubois schools. You know, those issues are, you know, certainly not a one-size-fits-all issue either.
Yeah, and I think that it's just my sense that people think that the state is controlling, you know, Mrs. Jones in Washington, you get paid X number of dollars. That's not really how it
works. The school boards, local school boards. And that's, in my opinion, what should be happening. I don't want to tell, you know, in Northeast Dubois, you know, in Dubois County, what they're to be paying their teachers. You know, one thing I've been passionate about, you and I have talked before, Grant, is, you know, a local control as much as possible. Obviously, some oversight, you know, from the state level, but local control, the locals know what they need and where they need it, and you want to trust them to be able to do the right things with those monies.
And the locals would say that, Mr. Lindauer, the locals would say, yeah, you want to give us control, but then when we want to make decisions, you say, no, you can't do that.
Right.
Is that a fair statement on their part?
Or? Oh, I think at times it's fair. Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a balancing act there, yeah. And you hear horror stories sometimes, right? You know, then there have been horror stories, unfortunately, in parts of the state. Fortunately, nothing around here. I think we are blessed to have some very good schools, very good people running those schools that lead to the good schools. So you hear some of those horror stories. And that's why I think that there are at times, you know, from the state level, some pushback to that, you know, the locals saying, hey, you're taking our control, that, well, this happened here or this happened there, so we need some oversight. And again, I'm not opposed to some oversight. If it's state money, we're charged as legislature with the state money. So, but again, I think that my preference would be to err on the side of local control and let people, the local people, if the local elected officials aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, let the locals
remove
those people out, remove them from office.
Sounds
right?
Great. Okay, let's get into some of these other issues.
Sure.
Infant mortality, hate crime legislation, opioid crisis. These are some other things that have been discussed as potential hot topics in the upcoming session. When I was going through this list, Shane, I began to think, you know, whatever happened with just plain old balanced budgets?
Right.
Plain old, like,
we
tax
could solve
cuts
those
or
things real quick
or,
here, Grant. I think those are, yeah, those issues. Yeah, those are some big issues.
But so anything that you think will happen on infant mortality, on hate crime legislation, opioid crisis, we talked earlier about that being perhaps connected with the DCS issues.
Yeah.
But it does seem like, you know, balanced budgets and tax cuts, I mean, that's old. That's
right.
Old news. We've
right.
moved on to these, like, idiosyncratic approaches to issues that are big issues.
Sure.
But it didn't seem like just a few years ago we were talking about that. We were trying to figure out how to get out of debt as a
right.
state and address some of these major problems that, that other states are grappling with.
Absolutely, yeah.
So is it fair to say that Indiana, I mean, it appears like it's had a good run here,
right.
5, 10, 15 years of it's been well governed, it's been well handled, and it's got a, I mean, the budgets are good. I mean, can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, no, as you were saying that was kind of dawning on me as well. You know, it's you know, it's always a testament, I think, to how things are running, if you can start, you know, getting on some of these other topics that are, again, not to say that they're not important. Obviously, opioids are
obviously
very
they're
important,
but it's just,
but if your
sure.
state's in a shambles, you know, you've got to kind of take care of that first. If you're on a sinking ship, you got to plug those holes first. And to your point, I think Indiana's done, you know, a good job at that. And so yeah, we can start looking at some of these areas, important issues, like you say. I'm fortunate to Speaker Bosma put me on the public health committee, and so I haven't seen the bill list yet, but I'm certain there'll be numerous bills, you know, looking at the opioid problem and how we may address that. And that's a tough one. I mean, for me, again, it's, I don't want to sound in any way callous, but again, throwing, you know, how much are we throwing money at the problem? How much of this is
and then tell ourselves it's going to be okay because
right,
we threw some money.
Because we threw some money.
But does it truly address
absolutely.
The issues at hand?
Yeah. And you know, how much it is you know, it gets back to a personal responsibility on the individuals, you know, to not be, you know, to not put themselves and their families in that position. Again, that's easy to say, but then you've got the fallout from the children, you know, that are ending up. You know, in the DCS I don't want to keep saying this, but there's just no easy answers. And on one hand, from a legislator standpoint, and from trying to be responsible to taxpayers, it feels at times, and this is just me personally talking, it feels it's hard to just say, hey, more money, when you want, you know, people to take personal responsibility. But how do you make that happen?
Yeah, it's a tragic it's a tragic issue. It destroys
Absolutely.
Families, it
Absolutely.
Destroys lives,
yeah.
and people don't realize, I think, how addictive
right.
some of these things are. Some of the things, the first time they try it because they had an injury, then and
yep.
they're addicted
Absolutely.
To it. Well, how do we deal with that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, let's go to really, really important issues, and that's the time zone discussion.
Absolutely, yeah.
So there's a tremendous amount of discussion about it. We briefly discussed it before this.
Sure,
Please give us your opinions. I mean, do time zones matter?
Well, yeah, as you alluded to, we were kind of talking about it before we came on air here. This is probably the issue I've heard most about, and people have been all over the board. I'm here in Central Time, I'm here in Eastern Time, I'm here in, you know, no more daylight savings time. I say certainly, you know, well, let me back up. A lot of these people, when they have an opinion, they're sending me, you know, this science says this. It's safer for children if we do this time zone. It's healthier for people if we do this time zone, or if we, you know, so you know, people try to kind of justify it, and I'm not saying it's not justified in any way, and I'm not saying it's not important. I think from a commerce standpoint, obviously it's going to affect things, but I mean, you know, I have my personal opinion on it.
And what is that?
I like the way it was before we started monkeying around with it.
You don't like the daylight savings, is that
I do not.
Okay.
Yes, I liked it the way it was. I don't know. I guess when Governor Daniels was in office, and I just liked that we didn't change, and you know.
So you're not saying that you care so much about Eastern or Central. You just don't like daylight
correct.
Savings.
That's where I'm at with it. Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people say that, but then they say, "But I think I want Central," or "Oh, I think I want
right,
Eastern."
Right.
Well, very good. We are going to have to get wrapped up here.
Sure.
Tell me. You mentioned public health, but tell me a list of all the committees that you're going to be a part of in this session.
Sure. So last year, I was on roads and transportation. I'm still on that. I was on natural resources, and I'm still on that. So I'm actually a vice chair of public health this session. That's a new one for me, as well as family and children services. So we've been talking a lot about DCS.
You're going to have a lot of work this session.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy session. Yes, it's going to be a busy session. So I don't know if I'm being punished by the speaker or what
I understand.
No.
and then real quick, we talked a little bit about it your seat was, you filled the seat of current U.S. Senator-elect Mike Braun.
Correct.
And just recently, this week, he said that, Mayor Seitz of Jasper said he was going to go work for for Mike Braun. Tell us a little bit about that, your comments.
Yeah, so, it was a bit of a shock, I think, for people. It was certainly something that came as a bit of a surprise in the Jasper area, I think. I think Mayor Seitz and, Senate-elect Braun have known each other for quite some time, and they worked together on the the I-67, the Mid-States Corridor issue that we're trying to get, through Spencer, Dubois County, and they have a good working relationship, and I obviously Senator-elect Braun has a lot of respect for Mayor Seitz, and so it'll be interesting.
Wonderful. So, and it's my understanding that you are running for mayor, is that right?
No, I am not. Yes. I'm outside of the city limits, so I couldn't do it if I wanted to.
Very good. Yeah. Well, I'll give you the last 10 to 20 seconds here. Just give us a wrap on what we're to look for, and then I'll close us out.
Yeah, so, I appreciate the opportunity. Anytime we get to interact and speak to the issues that affect our communities, I appreciate those opportunities and look forward to doing it again anytime, Grant.
Awesome. Great job. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. on 4-Star Country, the General 95.9 and 101.3 FM, 1580 AM. You can also listen to or download a copy of today's program and past shows by visiting WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Swartzentruber, inviting you to tune in every weekend to WAMW as we focus on the community.